Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Supreme, supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show, and it kicks off right now. Appreciate everybody being with us today. Appreciate Dan Matthews hosting yesterday. Had some sort of respiratory summer. I was just, I didn't get clear all day. And I sounded like my head had inflated to about the size of a pumpkin. So I didn't think that that would be really entertaining. So I was like, Dan, you roll with it. Feeling better today, though, to the point that I was actually on with a buddy of mine and his radio show earlier this morning. And he asked me a question about something that I thought was not as insightful as maybe it would seem in a different situation. I think this is kind of an assumption. He had asked me about, do you know, Dan, do you know it is an on-campus game, but do you know just about the best non-conference game week one? Do you know what the big daddy is in week one, heritage program-wise?
Yeah, it's Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Absolutely. Have we all really considered this? Notre Dame is at Ohio State week one. Now, who do you think Woodward was really going after other than Brian Kelly? Who do you think it was? A Jimbo? Was it whoever? If Brian Kelly is still at Notre Dame, all right, let's talk. Because this is just a different monster. No, Oregon did it last year without its best player. Oregon did it last year without its best player after the new quarterback from Ohio State had already gotten some experience. So you can do it. Doesn't this seem like a bit much? I was asked this morning. Again, I was just a buddy of mine's got his own show, and so I was on with him. And he asked me, so let's go out of the region a little bit. And he starts asking me about some of the week one, week two non-conference matchups. And there's some name non-conference games out there. Well, like I said, this is not one of those week one neutral site paycheck games. That is Oregon and Georgia, and that's not going to be very competitive. And Oregon's good and has talent. When I say competitive, I'm saying that looks like it's two touchdowns now. That's about what the line is. That, you know, like Florida State and LSU, okay, I'm in for that. LSU, I may be more excited about that game in being in New Orleans than LSU fans are. I think LSU fans would have a better time if it was on campus. In fact, I know, Dan, can I say this? I know LSU fans would have a better time if it was in Baton Rouge. Is that true? Okay, Dan says it's true. I just went, chest out, like representing purple and gold. I was assuming that was true because New Orleans just old hat to them. But on campus, this is huge. It seems a bit much for Marcus Freeman in his first game. It seems a bit much to go on the road when there's a lot that's going to be new. Not all of it, but there's a lot that's going to be new. But again, on the road, quality opponent, week three? Okay, now let's find something. I don't want to find that much out in week one. I really don't. I've said this, and this not meant to be funny, but you know the last thing I want to find out about my quarterback while he's at my program? I don't want to find out how tough he is. Last thing I want to know is I want that kid walking off after 3 or 4 years going, dadgummit, never found out if he was tough. I don't want to find out anything about I don't find out nothing in week one. Yes, there's some money. Notre Dame doesn't need money. Most programs, the money you can get in week one, you might be able to find it somewhere else. For some programs, you can, I guess. I know that the Chick-fil-A games, just because I've been part of some of them, $5.5 million in some cases. $5 million, $4.5 million, depending on school and what you're giving up as a home game. Not everybody is created equal. What is it? Was it Animal Farm? Some of us are created more equal than others. Guess what? Alabama was created more equal than you. That's just what Ohio State, they're more equal than you. And so for the week one neutral site paycheck game, they would get more. They're playing on campus. And Marcus Freeman, first time he's done everything. First time he's picked a pregame meal. First time he's just, you know what you do first when you walk out on a field? You stretch. Everybody looks at the coach. All right, well, how are we stretching? How are we doing calisthenics? Are we doing six captains and it's a wagon wheel from the 50-yard line out? Are we doing eight captains and they're on the goal line and we have columns going out towards the 50? It doesn't matter how you do it, but you have to determine how and get ready for Ohio State. He's smart. He's a good coach. Notre Dame's got talent. Go back to how I characterize. Doesn't this seem like it's a bit much to debut? Does to me. But I cannot wait. And we got the times now coming out as well. I don't think that there was a lot of mystery. I thought that Georgia-Oregon game. Dan, I saw people reacting and tweeting yesterday. Well, it's official now. Is that game in Atlanta? Isn't it always an earlier afternoon sort of thing? It was 3:30. Was that a big deal?
As long as I've been here, it's been a 3:30 game. I think, what was it, Alabama and Virginia Tech that
oh,
one.
You're right. The first
time they played each other. I want to say the national title year. That was a night game.
Yeah, and the Clemson-Bama way, but that's going way back. I did a game at Legion Field, a UAB home game, one of the years. Did the game on TV, got in the car, drove back, sat in the press box for the game, for the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. But that's 3:30. Ohio State, Notre Dame, a 7:30. Oh, my gosh. What are we? Probably, I'm going to guess, Dan, and figure it out if I'm right. About 100 days or so from college football?
108 days until September the 3rd.
108 days. Outstanding. All right, we're going to break. Come back. Continue with Chuck Oliver Show next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I stated back beginning of the year, calendar year, that the 2021 season, Tennessee fans might have had the most fun of any fan base in America. By the way, they lost six games, by the way. The Tennessee fan base may have had as much fun, as enjoyable a season as any fan base in America. It is about winning and losing. Tennessee, they are that kind of program that it's about winning and losing. It's not about other goals, but right now it wasn't really necessarily about that only in 2021. They needed just a sense of normal, hopefully with winning or winning record and a 13th game and all that, but they just needed to move on from scandal and controversy and NCAA this, and the fact that I think it was their own president at that December press conference like a year and a half ago. I was like, ma'am, stop talking. Like, this is the kind of stuff the whistleblower, the ex-coach you fired, says, and then this happened. It was the school president going, and then we did this. So, yeah, that was a heck of a season. And I think that we have – just because we're sports fans, we immediately forget what Josh Heupel and that staff walked into. Because when you achieve anything in sports, we look at you and go, okay, now that's the bare minimum that's acceptable. Folks, what I just said about the Tennessee fan base, that's reality 2022. Go 7-5 in this regular season, and it won't be exactly the same type of feel in Rocky Top, I don't believe. Want to bring on right now a good friend of ours from Go Vols 247. It is Wes Rucker. Wes, brother, how you doing today?
Doing all right. We got a daddy daycare day going on here, but I got the little monster asleep right now. So, knock on wood, we ought to be all right here.
Okay, so hopefully no insurgents in the background, but that's fine. Let's talk about, if we could. I don't mean to make you revisit unpleasant times, but we really do lose track of what you walked into if you show some success. Like Kevin Sumlin, you're supposed to do that every year now. I'm like, he was a new coach for – they fired the old guy for a reason, you know? Go back and talk about some of the challenges that Josh Heupel had to roll through, including Tennessee getting abused in that transfer portal last year like almost nobody else in America.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody else in America did get abused quite so bad. You know, it was, 33 or so guys in the calendar year that had left. I mean, you think about it, a couple of those were walk-ons, true, but, you know, you get, you know, a certain number of scholarships and, you know, almost, not quite almost half, but 40% or so of a team's scholarship numbers are gone. And in football, I mean, you talk about like a lost class. It used to be that if you did a coaching search during the recruiting time, you kind of looked at it as like a lost class and you were never going to get it back. Well, Tennessee had the best players from a few different classes all leave at the same time. And they did not have depth. They were – the first spring Josh Heupel was there, they moved a long snapper to linebacker just to practice.
Oh, yeah.
I say that again. They moved a long snapper to linebacker. They were like, hey, you had some tackles in high school. Want to go hit people again? Sure, why not, coach? That's where they were. And so when you put it through that kind of context, what they did last year, I don't know if I would say it's remarkable, but it's really impressive. There's no way around that. Now, as you said, that's not going to be the standard at Tennessee most years. It's not going to be the standard moving forward. But getting that out of that group last year, it's not like you didn't have some talent. You're going to see, you know, obviously some guys got taken in the drafts. Even some guys who were undrafted free agents have already signed contracts because they've done so well in tryouts. He had some pieces on that team, but he had to completely remake a culture, and he had to do it without a lot of bodies. So what he did last season earned pretty close to full marks for me. I mean, I said during last year, during spring ball, I said there is no way in hell this is a bowl team. There's just no way. I just don't see how it's possible. And then, you know, a couple inches there against Ole Miss, maybe a call that would have gone the right way. You know, the call at the end of the Purdue game, if that goes the right way.
The Pitt game was there for the taking.
Yeah, the big game was there at the end. They made some mistakes. But they made some mistakes in the other games, too. But the bottom line is that it really wouldn't have been that crazy if that had been a 9 or 10-win team. It could have been just a couple of bounces of the ball.
It would have been Arkansas. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a great point. Yeah, that's a really succinct way to put it. That's what it would have been. And so when you put it through that context, I mean, I don't think any first-year coach in the country – had, you know, more wins. I think Beamer had as many wins, but Tennessee beat the pants off of Beamer's team. So in Power 5 football, there was not a better first-year coach last year than Josh Heupel. And everything has got to be judged relative to the field, and judging it relative to the field, that's a big success in year one.
Follow him on Twitter at WesRucker247. That's where he works. Wes Rucker talking Tennessee Vols. This may sound like a strange place to go, but I think in college football today, I mean, even like Georgia, they win national championships with their two, with their three, you know, whoever. The backup quarterback, it really does matter, especially when a guy like Hendon Hooker wants to run around some. I thought after the season, after the 21 season was done, the bowls and everything, I was like, God bless Joe Milton. He's going to hang around and duke it out, even though he's not going to get the job, but he's going to stay there and, you know, make the best of it. I didn't hear as much about Joe Milton in spring as I did Taven Jackson. Is that just because it's spring and freshmen get a chance to, especially with no spring game, but freshmen get a chance in spring, or is Taven Jackson a real thing?
I mean,
I think he could be a real thing down the road. There's no question about that. But I think Milton just is a guy who had been there before. So you tend to hear more about the new toy, right? And yeah. And because fans, you know, on our discussion board there, the checkerboard on GoBalls 24/7, we always get when spring starts, when fall camp starts, you always get a million more questions. Unless there's a quarterback battle, you get more questions about the freshmen or the newcomers from JUCO than anything else. That's just what you get. And so that might be a part of that. No, I like Taven Jackson. There are some good things. The spring scrimmage there, he had some mistakes in that game, didn't look great. Milton made a couple really nice plays. If you go there, I'll never forget. It was every time that I see an NFL scout at a Tennessee practice, when they watch Joe Milton throw, they stare at him. It's like mouths hitting the floor, like, oh, my God, that arm talent.
Oh, yeah.
So Joe Milton's a guy who's always going to get your attention because he can flick the ball with his wrist and it goes like, you know, 65, 70 yards, just flicking it. I mean, he's an unbelievable talent. He looks like a defensive end, but he throws and he can run. So he's always going to get people's attention. And I think it's a really good thing for Tennessee that he stayed around because, you know, as you said, Hendon Hooker runs around a little bit. And Joe Milton is so big, he makes Hendon Hooker look like a small guy when Hooker's about, what, 6'4", 225? He just looks he looks like Joe's little brother on the practice field. But no, I think Taven Jackson has a chance at Tennessee. There's no question he does. Of course, everyone knows, you know, Nico Iamaleava is coming, and that's going to be, you know, a tough battle for him to win maybe down the road. But he's going to get a year head start on him, and he showed up there for spring, and that's a good thing for Tennessee.
All right, go to the back end of the defense because the secondary, you and I talked about Alante Taylor. I just like watching that kid play. He's aggressive as all get out, just in your face. Just loved him. But they lost some talent back there. But I guess, I mean, this is modern football. I look at the talent that left, and I'm looking at all these names, kid from Tech, Georgia Tech, kid coming down from Ohio State. And I'm like, they may be okay this fall. In fact, they'll probably be deeper this fall.
Yeah, if you were to ask me, like, five or so of the biggest questions I had on this Tennessee football team, I'd say maybe all but one of them were questions about defense. When you look at Heupel's track record, when you look at, you know, Hooker, Tillman, now Brew McCoy, those senior tight ends, Jalen Hyatt, they're going to score points, right? Like, they're going to score points. Heupel's teams always do. They have a crazy offense. It always puts points on the board. But you got to stop guys to win the game. You don't have to stop them as much as you used to, but you at least got to get in the way a little bit. Tennessee has got to get better defensively. They had a good number of TFLs last season. They had to be aggressive because they weren't going to get a lot of stops, so they tried to force turnovers and do other things. I still have questions about most of the places on Tennessee's defense. If you want to get from where Tennessee is right now, which is respectable again, but not great, and you want to get to that next level, you want to be at least, you know, banging on the door of teams like the Georgias and Bamas, you have to get a lot better defensively. They got to get a better pass rush, which they have a chance, Byron Young, you know, Tyler Barron. They got some guys who can do that. They got to play a little better middle linebacker. They got to play a little bit better off the edges, and they got to get better in the secondary. They just do. And it was tough to say in the spring because – They had like two cornerbacks healthy for spring.
Yeah.
It was just one of those deals where they had six or seven guys who were out and then a couple more guys who were coming in. So the safeties, McCullough and Trayvon Flowers, they're seniors. They've been there a long time, but they need to play better. And if they don't, there's some guys banging down the door who could come in there and play. You just mentioned them just a second ago. So there's some guys there that I do like, some young guys that I like a lot, you know, or you know, in-between guys like Brandon Turnage, who could do some things, Kamal Haddon, who could do some things. Warren Burrell's a senior. He's been there forever. They moved a sophomore from safety to corner in spring, and he looked pretty good. He's got the size and skill set for it. I think they have enough coaching and enough pieces to maybe put the thing together, but am I going to assume they're going to do that? No, not at all. They're going to have to prove it, but I think they have the ability to at least be better than they were last year.
Real quick, you mentioned Byron Young there. How good can he be? And the
really
like
good.
Like Derek Barnett, people don't realize, and I was like, you know, Jadeveon Clowney's freshman year. Go look at Derek's freshman year. I'm not talking about that level, but I'm talking about a guy who can really be somebody that on Sunday the other coaching staff looks at and says, all right, what do we do with him?
Oh, no, I think there's absolutely a question, absolutely a chance that he could do that. Now, the thing with Byron Young is, you know, he started college a little bit late because
he he's an old man, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because he it's a great story. He just saw a flyer for a walk-on spot at Georgia Military College when he was working as an assistant manager at a Dollar General. And so he's like, oh, I think I'll try this football thing again. And then Tennessee goes to practice to watch Georgia Military and goes, who the hell is that guy? And then he ends up a couple years later, he's at Tennessee. As a prospect, it's different because he's already, you know, the age of some of the younger NFL guys. But at that level especially, man, he is hard to block. He is really strong. He is really fast. He is really disciplined and motivated. And last year, you know, he couldn't play those first couple games. They were waiting to get him cleared, and then he had to get up to speed. And then there were times last year that he was a handful to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
And watching him, and then I watched him in spring again, the practice periods we could see, and Tennessee's offensive tackles, man, they just have a whale of a time trying to keep this guy out of the backfield. He is really, really good. I'm really, really bullish on him. I think he could be one of the better edge players in the SEC this season. I don't know if you're going to be like, oh, man, it's a first-team All-American. I think, though, if you have a conversation about who are some of the best edge guys in the SEC, I think you're going to have to include Byron Young's name. I think he could be that kind of player.
Well, if you got any influence, you need to get him out of that jersey. Six is a bad number for a big guy. It just does not look good.
The big guys love going single digits now. You
six, know, eight, and zero.
It used to be back in the day that if you could never wear single digits as a defensive lineman, yep, or as a pitcher, and now pitchers are wearing single digits. You got defensive linemen wearing single digits. I don't know, man. It's a different world these days. Nothing means anything anymore.
It really is. I mean, it's just the entire balance of power is all gone. I appreciate you as always, Wes. Thank you, man.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Yeah, Wes Rucker from 247. Yeah, big guys in the small number. It's a hard look. Jalen Carter's 88, right? So that's a big guy in like a receiver's number. That can work because you're still kind of – it's the single digits. Remember Marvin Austin at North Carolina back in the day? All-American defensive tackle until he took a hard left. But Marvin Austin, big guy, not just a single-digit number, because you know what? Like Jadeveon Clowney, was he seven? I want to say he was seven. You can pull off some of these coming off the edge, but it's the six. It might be the eight, and it is certainly the zero. You start losing because, again, when you're like 280, and by the way, he's not. He's probably 250, maybe 245. But when you get up into like the 280s, you start losing part of those digits into the folds, and when you're heavier. And so it was just a poor look. So other than the number, got no issue, man. Absolutely love his potential there for Tennessee this coming season as they try to gin up a little pass rush. And he's going to fill that role. There's always a sort of a tweener between tackle and end as well on that defense as well.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Rolling through hour two. Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. It's kind of like Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday or Friday or any other day. We talk college football. Been doing it since the beginning of the 14 season. 9 states, 56 stations. I appreciate everybody making that blessing possible. Want to head out now? Senior sports editor, also SEC Insider, AL.com, and the man is a published author. I want to welcome him on. It is John Talty. John, how are you doing today?
Great, Chuck. Appreciate you having me on again.
Yeah, thank you for your time. And I said published author. I don't think I've said this about you before. Are you a published author already, or is the Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban going to be you debuting your career?
This is the debut, so I guess, I am an author. I guess it hasn't fully come out yet, so I don't know if I'm a published author yet.
Boom.
But soon to be, right?
Well, let's talk about the book. Again, Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban. You can get John on Twitter and a direct click to the pre-order site there. It says it's out in August. Actually, I think it's coming out maybe a little before that, but you can pre-order online. Talk about this angle of Nick Saban, because it's still, this is not a self-improvement course. It's how Alabama's coach became the greatest ever. Just talk about what's between the pages of this, a little insight into Nick Saban.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so if you look at it, I think most of us have probably accepted at this point that he's, you know, the greatest college football coach ever. I think that he's probably going to continue to add to that. We'll see what Kirby Smart can do over the course of his career. But right now it's Nick Saban. And so I think anytime you have someone who's super successful, whether that's Nick Saban, you go outside of sports, Steve Jobs, you know, whoever, there's something that we can learn from how they got to that point in their lives. I don't think, and I know for a fact with Nick Saban, this is not happenstance. It's not luck that he became the greatest ever. I mean, there is a blueprint to how he's been able to have so much success. We've seen around the SEC, Kirby Smart in Georgia is a great example recently, of people trying to take pretty much an exact replica of what Nick Saban has done at Alabama and try to build their own version of it. You know, Billy Napier is now doing it at Florida. So it felt like the right time to look at, you know, what exactly is he doing behind the scenes to build this monster? How has he been able to have the level of success that he's had? How does he handle loss? How does he handle winning, which sometimes is even harder to do? How do you avoid that complacency? And what are the translatable things from his style to what any of us might be able to do, whether that's as a journalist, whether that's you're the general manager of a Publix in Atlanta, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, there are going to be things that Nick Saban does that are going to ring true for you that you can apply in your everyday life.
Yeah, and one of the stories in there about him hiring, everybody, his fans, media, everybody makes a big deal about how great he is at hiring. It's not just by accident, and it's the interview process may not actually be a very fun endeavor for those wanting to get on his staff, but he's got purposes behind that.
Absolutely, and so there's, you know, he absolutely puts people through the ringer. I mean, you're going to meet with a lot of people, and it doesn't even have to be a high-level role. I mean, we're not always talking about offensive coordinator, things like that. Some of these are lower-level positions, and you're still going to meet with the full staff. You're going to meet with people on the academic side of things. You're going to meet with people on the nutrition side of things, strength and conditioning. Like, he is very diligent about trying to find the right people for his organization. And there's multi-parts to that. One of the big ones is that he knows that he needs a right kind of person with a right kind of mindset to fit into the style that he has. You know it's going to be hard work. You know there's going to be some long hours. And it's very clear who is running the show. He doesn't want people freelancing and doing their own thing. He wants people buying into the overall organization mission to, you know, advance them, everybody being pulling in the same direction. So, you know, that's a big part of it. The other thing that he is famous for doing is he'll bring people in, he'll run them through the full ringer, sometimes multi-days, and all he's really after is information. I mean, he might have no real intention of hiring.
Oh, absolutely.
He'll bring them in, and he does it. I mean, he's very smart about it. I think people now kind of know that he does this, but it's also still, I mean, you get an opportunity to be around Nick Saban for a couple of days, you're still going to want to take it, but he'll bring people in, and, you know, especially if it's somebody who's given him trouble in the past, hey, like, what did you see here? What was it that you guys did in this situation? Just to try to get a little bit smarter, a little bit better. And so that's something that he's kind of become famous for over the years.
John Talty, you can get him. strangely enough, on Twitter at JTalty. And you can read email.com, et cetera. Let's talk about what's going on across state then, just that dynamic. When Gus was at Auburn, I said there is no situation like this in college football because it was the daily psychological beatdown of just succeeding in the same state where another guy, Nick Saban, is succeeding at that level. It's the challenge of that every single. Gus actually kind of figured it out a little bit more than anybody else. I think right now the divide is as big, and like the real divide is as big between these two programs as maybe in my lifetime. Give me your take on the situation and how Harsin can change that if he can.
Yeah, it's a strong take, and I don't disagree. I think that and it's funny because, you know, they came extremely close, as you know, to winning this last Iron Bowl. And maybe we would be talking about it differently, but of course they didn't, and fed into a bigger narrative of this team just blowing leads late in games, not being able to finish games, and, you know, led to all the drama we saw play out very publicly with Brian Harsin earlier this year. So there's a lot of questions about how do you kind of fix that huge gulf between these two programs. I don't see it. I mean, I think one of the issues from the get-go when they hired him was, you know, this feels like a weird fit. How is he going to be able to recruit in the SEC going against guys like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and some of the others that are in place? I think those questions still exist. Auburn is not dominating the recruiting trail. They did not sign a great recruiting class last February, and I don't see them on paper. It's early, but not on paper to be signing a great recruiting class for this upcoming one. So that's the easiest solution to how you fix the problem, just get a lot of talented players, right? I don't see Brian Harsin doing that. So the advantage is going to have to come on the X's and O's side, and nothing that I saw in the last year to me indicates that he is an elite-level X's and O's coach. So I don't have a solution for you, honestly. I mean, I think what's the most likely outcome is whether it's this year or the year after, they'll probably fire him and start over and hire somebody differently, because I just don't really see an easy path to success in general, but specifically in the comparison to Alabama for Brian Harsin to be able to achieve.
Wrapping up again, John Talty, get him on Twitter at JTalty. One more question about Nick Saban and the program over yonder. And this is not just like if I asked you this 5, 6, 7 years ago, it would have been, and I'll raise my, it would have been just like the lazy cliched, whatever. Dude, 70. At what point does he just not be the Alabama head coach anymore? And I don't know how. It's not going to be another program. It's not going to be the NFL. I don't think TV. I think he just goes and gardens and does what Miss Terry tells him. But when does that happen? Because he started work in 19. I asked him about this. He started work in 1972. Who works for 50 years?
I think it's all he knows. And the one thing that he talks about a lot is that he says he's been part of a team since he was 9 years old. And all he really knows is about being around the team. He's been doing it his whole life. And so I think for him to walk away, it's going to take two things. I think that he is very in tune. We'll see. I mean, 5 years from now, if Alabama's bad and he's still hanging on, you can bring back this clip and tell me I was wrong. But I think that he is very in tune with not wanting to be the head coach if he's not able to deliver at a certain level. Like, I don't think he's going to want to be a Bobby Bowden or a Joe Paterno where it's obvious the program is slipping and he doesn't want to walk away. I think he will walk away if he ever felt like he couldn't deliver the way he used to. And I think the second part is for him to walk away. I do think he's going to want to do something. I don't know what exactly it'll be. But whatever it'll be, it's going to have to in some ways replicate the idea of a team for him. Now, maybe that's him being a figurehead of a company or something like that, but I think he is scared to death, and he has said those exact words, scared to death about the idea of not being around a team, and that's going to be the hardest thing for him to have to figure out when the time comes to walk away.
Oh, yeah.
How does he replicate that feeling?
Was it the Georgia game or one of the games in COVID year? And he's like, I found myself on a Saturday afternoon just driving around. He's like, what in the world am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it was the first time he hadn't been, I think, part of a game since his dad passed away in the 1970s. He had no idea what to do with himself, you know, and that would be the hardest thing for any coach, but especially him, given how much he puts of himself into coaching every single year.
John Talty, great stuff, man. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, again, blue check, so it's him, at Jay Talty, SEC, senior sports editor, and AL.com. I can get him there. I've mentioned this before. I was watching do you ever watch American Experience? It's on public television, and so some of you are like, I don't watch public television, and I get it. The American Experience, there was a 4-hour documentary on Lyndon Johnson. and he was president after Kennedy and before Nixon. And so he gets his job the way he got his job, and then he won in 64 over Barry Goldwater, and then he decided, I don't want to run in 68. So after he decides he does not want to run in 1968, he was like, all right, too hot, I'm going to drop it. Then he goes back to his ranch, and the story that they told there was from somebody who was, because he was from Texas. Johnson City, is that right? And so Lyndon Johnson goes back home to the sprawling, I don't know, 2,000 acres, wherever he lived. And the story was, you know, during the Vietnam War, which obviously that escalated, started from advisors to whatever came while he was president. Every single morning, Lyndon Johnson out of bed, sitting at a long table, bunch of people around it. All right, how many tanks? How many troops? How many jeeps? How much food? What about the supplies? What about, whatever. Went straight down, up one down one side, back down the other, getting the updates on all of the resources. He leaves D.C. Very next morning, big meeting at the ranch. All right, how many chickens? How many pigs? How many tractors? How many? Every single, he was the same person. Maybe Nick Saban isn't allowed to retire. Maybe like the people who love him slash would be around him if he retired. Maybe the people who really love Nick Saban look at go, no, you can't retire. It was during COVID. And Dan, he made it back for the Georgia game. Didn't win that. He beat COVID. And so wasn't he on the sidelines for the Georgia game?
You're talking about the first one, right?
2020.
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Okay, but there was a game. I'm trying to remember. There was a game he missed because for some reason.
Iron Bowl, I want to say.
Yeah, and he said, I was driving around. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Now, you learn what to do because you don't always get to choose this. You know, like Jim Grobe. Jim Grobe could say, I've been coaching my, what do I do on a Saturday? Well, Jim Grobe doesn't have a job. All right, so he, you know what you do? You figure it out. I don't know. What Vince Dooley, what's he do on a Saturday? He figures it out. May go to the game. Oh, Georgia's in Baton Rouge? I ain't going there. It's a long way. What do? You figure it out. Steve Spurrier, what's he doing on a Saturday? He figures it out. Dan, I'm going to give Dan credit for this one. I should have come up with it. What's Steve Spurrier doing on a Saturday? About a 78. And I believe Coors Light is his choice, I think. I think I saw pictures of him on top of an RV. And is this not the most awesome thing? He was an active head coach in the SEC. Dan, he was on top of an RV infield at a NASCAR race. That's awesome. And I think it was Coors he was drinking. I think. But I don't know that. And I'll just say, as I recall. But what do? You figure it out at some point. Howard Schnellenberger figured it out. So those stories about, you know, Bear Bryant, and my understanding is true. If I ever stop coaching, I'll be dead in a month. Well, I think he passed in like 5 weeks or 3 weeks or something. So Bear Bryant, he said it. Everybody says that. If I stop working, I'll be dead in a month. And then you're not. So you figure it out. That's what it is. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and we will wrap up on this Wednesday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I think he needed to be more engaged. And you know what? He got it. I'm excited about what he can do.
He's in the training room every day. He's engaged. During spring, he was out there helping the younger players. He's moving around. I think that he can have a breakout season.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that out of disrespect, but that's LSU head coach Brian Kelly. I'm not saying that out of disrespect for Coach Kelly. I'm saying none of that matters. He's talking about high hopes for Kayshawn Boutte in 2022. High hopes, and he's out there, and he's running around, leader, and I think he's the most talented receiver in the SEC. Do you know what the variable is? All of these things can happen, and maybe he'll have and Kayshawn needs to do A, B, C, D, E. No. Well, now, yes, you're right, Coach Kelly. The talent part is not the mystery. There are coaches around the SEC, like Sam Pittman's looking around going, all right, who steps up? Who's the next guy? Talent is not the thing for Kayshawn Boutte. You know, here's the variable, health and quarterback and play calling and blocking and a run game that takes some attention from the safety or means you can't go nickel at least. How about that? Run the ball enough that you can't go nickel. High hopes for Kayshawn Boutte in 2022. Well, it's not the I have high hopes for him. The hope is not, boy, hope he comes through. No, he's got the talent part figured out. In fact, I would say that Kayshawn, if you put his health on the list of variables, okay, I'll put that there. All the other variables are the people. Y'all catch up to him. And that is maybe the quarterback. And it'll be better for him as Miles Brennan, I believe. Running option wouldn't hurt, though. But for Miles Brennan, it's just I really like the ball coming out of his hand, man. It's up to Miles Brennan. It's up to the play calling. It's up to the blocking. It's up to the opposite receivers. It's up to Besh. It's up to whomever. It's up to a whole lot of folks other than just Kayshawn Boutte. And as far as what's up to, he's got his part figured out. I can promise you that kid is just fabulous. Fantastic. And they got so many good receivers running around there. They're just not experienced and they're not proven and they're not talented. I don't know if they're not confident or whatever until you've actually done it on the SEC field. When you show up, you know, played Friday nights the previous 4 years, and you show up at SEC practice, look across the field and go, oh, that's like that guy I played against in the state semifinal game, who's the best corner I've ever seen in my life. Oh, he's on the scout team here. That's what it can be, folks. Oh, he's not the LSU cornerback? Well, no, he is an LSU cornerback, but today he's the McNeese State cornerback. Why? Because that's who we open with. And so that's really the light coming on, man. Oh, it's different on Saturdays and Sundays, especially at just a monster program like LSU. Dan, how is your Wednesday going?
So far, so good. You know, it's funny because we've talked about Nick Saban earlier. What's going to happen when next has to happen? And I talked about this a little bit yesterday. And now I think we've seen a couple of examples of what could possibly be ahead for Alabama. And one of them is already paying off. One of them has paid off. Even in a second job for said guy, Oklahoma, it wasn't a huge, this is going to be my final season. See, Bob Stoops didn't go all Roger Clemens on us where he said, that's it, this is going to be my final start. And then all of a sudden the following year, he's wearing number 22 for the Houston Astros. In this case, he just didn't even have the pomp and circumstances, said Lincoln Riley's team, here we go. They're loaded for bear. It's a good football team. He can handle it. He can do it. And it's hard to argue with the results because they went to the college football playoff that year. Same deal, probably not necessarily on Urban's terms, really, if you think about it. But Urban Meyer steps aside and says, Ryan Day, you're the guy. You can take the program. You can lead it forward. College football playoffs a couple of times. And now, broken off for a new extension, $9.5 million per, lasting through the 2028 season. I think for Nick Saban, it's kind of a similar deal because it's one of those things that I think human nature, when you're new to a situation, is that you want to try so hard to fit into the situation. And in this case right here, we know that the culture at Alabama is not broken. As a matter of fact, it's rock solid. If you try to change it at all, then it's your problem, not the other way around. So I think that if nothing else, what is going to need to happen for Nick Saban, I've talked about this before, I think that we'll start to kind of know when it is on the horizon because you're going to have somebody who doesn't leave. Wow, that offensive or defensive coordinator is really good. Why aren't they going anywhere? all of a sudden will be led up to the precipice where it's, hey, this is going to be the guy that is going to take the program going forward. He's not leaving another job to come in. He's not somebody that's been at the NFL, kind of the same deal of what I just talked about right there. But it's somebody who has been there on the ground floor, seeing, watching, observing how everything is done. So then, indeed, when it is time for Nick Saban to say, hey, this huge office I have here in the facility at Alabama, it's now yours. I'll stop by every once in a while, but for the most part, it's on you.
Think Ryan Day needs love? Because if he needs love, then he'll stay at Ohio State. If it is, and that's Ryan Day or a lot of other coaches who have the choice. Because you know what happens in college that doesn't happen nearly as often in the pros? People love you. And you don't even have to – like Bears fans, Dan, were you even alive for the 85 Bears beating the Patriots?
I was probably like 2 months old.
January of 86. So, three months. Okay, 3 months old. Okay. Bears fans, it's 35 years ago. 36 years, Bears fans can't get enough Mike Ditka. Can't get enough Mike Ditka. Do you know how unusual that is? Tom Landry was the only coach Dallas ever had. Jerry Jones buys the team. Awesome to be the owner of the Cowboys. Tom, walk with me. It is really, 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 really difficult for a pro coach to get there. College coach, you can do that. So if Ryan Day... if part of what motivates, he may not even know this or acknowledge it, and he certainly would never say it. I need to be told I'm pretty. If Ryan Day, part of what motivates him is being loved, then he doesn't go to college. Then he doesn't go to the NFL, stays in college. Coaches who leave that sort of insulated, potentially, and getting more difficult to succeed and just do your job time-wise, who choose to leave that, they're doing it because the competitive itch outranks everything else underneath that that you get, even the money. Because you can stay in college at a really good job. You can stay there for a long, long time. Mark Richt could have stayed at Miami. They were happy to have Mark Richt. They wouldn't have fired him. They fired Manny Diaz. They would have fired Mark Richt for the exact same outcome. Decided, you know what? I'm just moving on totally. All right. Wraps it up on this Wednesday. David on the ones and twos. Fantastic job. Thank you, Dan. Everything Dan does. Thank you, everybody, coming here. 22 hours from now, come on back. Recharge the batteries. Be more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.